Good to see everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. Hope you're able to stay cool. I appreciate the song service, Cade. Thank you for the singing. It was beautiful this morning. We're continuing our series of lessons entitled, How Do You Know You're a Christian? Today we're looking at Believe the Truth about your relationship with God. There are a lot of people who are confused over their relationship with God. Some of it comes from our inability to understand God. They don't know who God is or really know what God requires. They don't understand His nature. And based on that, how we have a relationship with Him. Some of it comes from human systems of thought to which we subscribe, and we try to make our own human philosophies and understanding, we try to fit God into that mold, and sometimes that adds to confusion. Some of us are confused about our relationship with God because we know ourselves. We know exactly how sinful we are, how often we fail, and we wonder how God would want to have anything to do with us because we are sinful people. Some people think they don't really have any sin. They believe that they're a good person. They lead a good life. And because the good things that I do in this life are going to outweigh the bad things, I'm going to be able to get into heaven. And so they're confused about their relationship with God. In our text this morning, it is going to eliminate all of that confusion. Every single thing that I just addressed by way of introduction is answered in this text in 1 John this morning. And we'll be able to see what it is that God requires, who God is, and what it means to have a relationship with Him. If you would please stand for the reading of the Word of God from 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message He has given us to announce to you. God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from every sin. If we say we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from every wrong. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His Word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if you do sin, there is someone to plead for you before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who pleases God completely. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He takes away not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Thank you. Be seated. In order to know that we are a Christian, we must believe the truth about our relationship with God. And the Scriptures make it clear what it means to have a relationship with God and what is involved in that. And this text focuses on some key elements of having a relationship with God. First, it tells us that we must believe God is light. He says, this is the message that we have been given and that we announce to you. God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. This word message only appears two times in the New Testament, here and in chapter 3, verse 11. And it is a special revelation that seems to have come from God to the apostles, or to God's messengers. And He says, here it is. Here is this message that we have been given to proclaim, to share. God is light. Now, it wouldn't matter in the first century if you were of Jewish descent or of Hellenistic descent. You would have an understanding of what this means. For the Jew, light was used in a couple of ways. It was, first of all, used in an intellectual sense. And if someone understood the light, then they were living their life by the truth. They were living their life according to God's will. They were living with an understanding of what is genuine and real and honest. And darkness would have represented evil or untruth. And there was a moral sense in which the Jews used this word. In the moral sense, light is righteous, holy, good, and darkness, evil. The Greeks for centuries had used light to refer to truth and goodness and uprightness, and darkness as ignorance or error. So it wouldn't matter to whom John was writing, they would understand this concept that God is the embodiment of all that is true, that God is the essence of what is righteous. He is the very standard of pureness. He is the very standard of holiness. And because of this, God cannot stand sin. Because He is light, He is appalled at the very hint of sin. God cannot have a relationship with anyone who has sin. So this clearly presents us with a problem, doesn't it? If God cannot have a relationship with anything that is associated with darkness, and there is no darkness in Him at all, how can He have anything to do with us? Well, we're going to revisit this. We're going to see God's solution to our predicament. Let's notice, secondly, that we need to beware of common lies. Next slide, please. There are three different lies that John outlines in this text. Three of them. The first is the lie that people say, we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. These are the people that say this: I love God, and God loves me, and I am right with God. All the while, their lifestyle is indicative of darkness. They walk in darkness. They are living a life that is marked by sinfulness rather than living a life that is marked by righteousness. The text literally says that if you're living that kind of life, if you're saying, I have a relationship with God, but your life is indicative of, it's full of sin, it's overflowing with sin, and it's indicative of sinfulness. He says, we're not living in the truth, is what this translation says. Literally, it is, we are lying and not practicing the truth. People who claim to have fellowship with God but live in spiritual darkness, the habit of their life is sinfulness, and they think that they're right with God, John says they're lying to themselves. They're lying. You cannot have a relationship with God. So what you've got to ask yourself is, what is the defining feature of my life? Is the defining feature of my life goodness and righteousness and holiness? Or is the defining feature of my life sinfulness and unrighteousness? The second lie is, if we say we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. Some people in John's day had invented a way of claiming to have no sin. They said that they had gotten beyond good and evil, that they had actually reached a stage in their spiritual development where they were no longer committing sin. They had arrived so spiritually to such a plane of spiritual maturity that they they could not sin in their lives. The scholars refer to this as Gnostic illumination. They believed that it was impossible for sin to affect their relationship with God and that they really couldn't commit sin anymore. He says they are fooling themselves. Some of your Bibles may read deceiving themselves. They are involved in self-deception and they are refusing to accept the truth. Light, truth. That's the second lie. John said, you've got to be aware of it. The third lie is, if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. Can you believe there are some people who actually say, who were saying then, and some who say now, I don't have any sin. I never have had any sin because I reject your notion of sin. You say, this is sinful. I say it's a choice or a lifestyle. You say this is wrong. I say it's none of your business. I can live how I want to live, and by my definition, this is not sin. I reject your definition of sin. I have no sin. And there were some people in the New Testament who were saying, you know what, I don't have any sin. Never have. And to that, he says, we are calling God a liar. The whole revelation of God is how God has made provision for us to have a relationship with Him in spite of our sin. And so he says, you're calling God a liar if you say you don't have any sin and His Word is not in you. That's the third lie he says we need to be aware of. All of that is laying the foundation for this next point. And that is, we have to believe in continual cleansing from sin. Sin is real. No one is above it. No one is beyond it. Nobody has reached a level of spiritual maturity where they do not commit it. We cannot deny the truth about sin. It is there. Now, going back to the first point. Since we have sin, and since God is light and there is no darkness in Him at all, what are we going to do? How are we going to have a relationship with God if we have sin in our lives? If we are living in the light just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. Some of your translations say, walk in the light. Cleon Rogers, in his Linguistic Key to the Greek New Testament, says this about walking in the light. Walking in the light is the conscious and sustained endeavor to live a life in conformity with the revelation of God. You are going to commit sin. There is never a time, Christians, in your life, you're never going to reach a plateau or a plain where you are not going to sin, where it is going to be above you. So what you've got to ask yourself is, what is the habit of my life? What is my persistent preference in my life? Is it good or is it evil? Am I living a life that is marked by righteousness, or am I living a life that is marked by wickedness? I like the way one writer put this. He said, do you live in the neighborhood of holiness, or do you reside in the subdivision of sinfulness? Where do you live? You're going to sin, but where do you live? He then says, we have fellowship with Jesus, and the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from every sin. Here's the thing. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. If you are living a life marked by righteousness, when you commit a sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. then. Cleanses is in the present tense, meaning it is a perpetual, uninterrupted, continuous action. A perpetual, uninterrupted, continuous action. When you sin, Christ's blood immediately, continually cleanses you. If you're living a life walking in the light, a living a life marked by righteousness. The word cleanse is an interesting word. It goes beyond forgive. It means erases the stain of, removes the hint of, dispels the semblance of, erases the evidence of sin. It's as if you never sinned in the first place. So how can we who sin? How can we who sin have a relationship with a God who is light and who is holy and who has no darkness in Him at all? Here's how. When you sin, when you're walking in the light, Jesus cleanses you. The moment you sin, Jesus cleanses you. Perpetual, uninterrupted action. We've got to believe Jesus is our defender. John says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin." John is saying, I'm writing this to you so that you will endeavor, that you will strive, that you will work not to sin. I'm not, because some people may think, wait a minute, if Jesus cleanses me when I commit sin, the moment I commit sin, then what's wrong? You know, I don't have to be worried. I can continue to sin because the blood of Jesus is going to cleanse me. And so John says, wait a minute. Let me make sure you get this. I'm writing this to you so that you will endeavor and strive not to sin. But if you do sin, and this is another beautiful thing about the original language, that word sin there is in the aorist tense. It means a specific act rather than a lifestyle. It means an incident rather than continuous action. And it is so phrased and so organized in the Greek that it indicates the reality of the action. But if you do sin, and you will, is the idea. One translator translated it, but when you sin, you're going to sin. There is someone to plead for you before the Father. We are going to commit acts of sin. The question is, are we living a lifestyle of sin? Are we walking in the light and living in the light, or are we walking in the darkness? And if we are walking in the light, the blood of Jesus continually, perpetually, uninterruptedly cleanses our sin. That's what John is saying here. And he says, and when we do commit those acts, random acts of sinfulness, when those do arise and when we commit those, there is someone to plead with you before the Father. We have a defender. In rabbinical literature, this word referred to someone who was an attorney representing someone else. Here it means a legal advocate or a counsel for the defense. Jesus Christ. The man Jesus Christ, the Eternal One, is your defense counsel when you sin. He stands before the Father and He pleads your case when you sin. And He takes it to a different level when He says we have to believe that Jesus has paid the price for our sins. He is the sacrifice. He takes away not only our sins, but the sins of the entire world. He is our heavenly defender, and He is the offering. Some of your translations will say He is the atoning sacrifice. That means Jesus has paid the price for your sin. He has paid the price for the sins that you have committed in the past. He has paid the price for the sins that you will commit in the present. And He has already paid the price for the sins that you will commit in the future. He has paid the price for our sin. He is both our advocate and our atoning sacrifice. And here's the key. Brothers and sisters, His advocacy is not based on our merit. It's not based on our goodness. It's not based on our righteousness. His advocacy is based on His sacrifice. He stands as our defender and pleads our case for the Father because of what He did. I died for Bobby. I paid the price for his sin. I went to the cross after being beaten and bloodied and scourged. I paid it. And the sin is cleansed. I paid the price for every member at Winsong, every sin they commit. I paid the price, and the sin is cleansed like it was never there. His advocacy is based on His relationship and His sacrifice. So the question is, are you living in the light? Christians, whenever you sin, you don't step out of the light and into the darkness and out of the light and into the darkness. And then, you know, it's the moment, if you are walking in the light, if you are living a life of righteousness, the moment you sin, you are forgiven. Your advocate is the Son of God Himself. You should live your life confidently knowing that when you screw up, and you're going to, you're forgiven because of what Jesus did. You can be confident of your salvation if you're living a life that is marked and determined by righteousness. Are you living in the light? Or are you living in the darkness? If you're living in the darkness, you can come out of it today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins and be clothed with Christ. If you're a Christian and you need to come back to God, come back to the light. As together we stand and sing.